with her is I can't sound like her, and I don't like to interrupt a good thing. Amen. I appreciate you for being here this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 4 and Matthew chapter 7. As we talk about the power of God in our lives, one of the things that we sometimes need to overcome is the power of false judgment. And Wednesday night, we've been doing a study through 1 Corinthians, and I got into this a little bit, and just, Lord really laid it on my heart to bring a similar type message to you today. I'm going to expand on it a little bit different than what I had Wednesday morning. But I want you to see the power of God to help us to overcome false judgment. But before I begin, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you and praise you for all your many blessings, for the way you touch us, that you lead us, that you guide us in all that we do. Father, I pray right now that you speak to our hearts in such a way that we would hear your words and implant them in our lives, that we'd be able to live them out in a special way today. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Babe Ruth was one of the greatest hitters to ever live. He's still considered to be probably one of the greats, if not the greatest hitter to ever live. One day during a game, one of the great umpires of his day, a guy named Babe Pinnell, was calling the game, and he called Babe Ruth out and called him on a third strike, and 40,000 people in the stadium started screaming and yelling, you know, that was a ball, crazy ump, and all those things. And Babe Ruth, incredibly mad, turns to the umpire and gives him a glaring look and said, 40,000 other people know that was a ball, you tomato head. And to which the umpire smiled and said, but mine is the only opinion that matters today. As we talk about being judged and judgments in our life, there are three kinds of judgments that I want you to see this morning. If you're filling in your blanks today, I want you to fill in the word judgment. Notice there are three types of judgment. The first is mankind, the second is self, and the third is Christ. The first is mankind, the second is self, and the third is Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me it is a small thing that I do, that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, and yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. The first thing I want you to see in these group of verses, if you have your pencil out and you're underlining, is the word servants in verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants. The term there is the Greek word talking about the person who's head of a household. When we talk about being head of a household, it's usually a slave in those days. It was your top slave. It was the person that literally got to decide how the other slaves lived, what other clothes they wore, what kind of work they did, how long they worked, how much they slept. The servant was the one who ran the master's house. He was the one who distributed the goods, the life, and all those things. In that household, that servant for those other slaves was the judge, was the one who meted it out. And the key word here is, and the second word I want you to underline if you have your pencil out in your Bible, is the word faithful. God is not looking for the perfect servant in the way in which we consider servants to be perfect. He doesn't look upon the skin. He doesn't look upon the money. He doesn't look upon the power. He doesn't look upon the fame. What he looks upon is a servant of his faithful to the task. Did they take what he has given them and shared it with others in such a way that others are benefited? Did he take the blessings that God has given the servant and the servant use those to build his own kingdom, or did he use it to build God's kingdom? As we talk about being servants today of Christ, there's a lot of judgment that goes into that. There's the judgment from outside, as Paul says. And notice what he says to 1 Corinthians. He says right there, he says, look, he said, I'm not concerned about being judged by you, by humans, or some human court. And you have to realize, Paul was judged by human court many times. He was found guilty of betraying the Jewish faith to the point that they stoned him on more than one occasion, leaving him for dead, thinking they had killed him on more than one occasion. He was beaten by the rods. He had all kinds of prison time. Over and over and over again, he stood before human courts and he said, look, mankind's judgment doesn't bother me. But then he also says, look, I'm not even judging myself. He said, not that I don't know of anything against me or know of anything for me, but he says, but ultimately, I don't judge myself. I'm not making myself out to be the judge in my life or the judge for the things that I do or how I live or who I am or how I stand before God. He said, ultimately, there's only one judgment that matters. That's the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your life today, I want you to understand there's one judgment that matters. And I'm going to try to share with you from Matthew chapter 7 what I believe Christ teaches about judgments. So I want you to flip over with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. And I want to show you some dangers, some problems, but also the worthy judge. So in Matthew chapter 7, we're now falling under point number 2, if you're filling in the blanks, the danger of judging one another. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your own, in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you'll be see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Let's break this apart. First off, I want you to understand something. Jesus had a great sense of humor. You know, a lot of times we see the pictures of Jesus and he's this solemn figure that looks like he's been sucking on pickle juice. You know what I'm saying? He's just like, you know, ate a bad carrot or something. He's just all tense. That's not who Christ was. If you saw Christ, we see him at the wedding having fun. We see kids wanting to be around him. And I want to tell you something. When you see him use sarcasm the way he does in this group of verses, you know he's got a great sense of humor. In that day and age, the Jewish leaders, the ones who had the relationship or supposed to have had the relationship with God, controlled those around them by saying, look, I'll decide who's worthy to come to church. I'll decide who's worthy to know God. If you've got a sickness, infirmity, if you're poor, if you've got all these problems, obviously God's not pleased with you or not with you or and God's against you in some way. You can't really know God. And they set up all these rules that people could never follow. They themselves could not even follow them. So when Jesus starts teaching this message, understand the people around. There are the religious leaders who are just high and mighty, who have, you know, the keys to the kingdom. Then there are the people who are the average people, who just figure they can't really know God because they could never reach the level of the religious leaders, and there's all these rules they can't even keep up with, and every time they try to do something for God or try to know God, somebody puts a stumbling block in their way, and Christ comes along and says, stop. We've got this thing upside down. He said, the religious leaders who totally were not living for God are over here trying to fix the problem in everybody else's life. And they're so intent on fixing every problem that literally Christ says, he compares it to a speck of sawdust. And if you know anything about sawdust, it can be very fine, but you get a piece of that in your eye, and I mean, it hurts. It drives you a little crazy. I mean, you try to blink it out, it doesn't work, you know, runs around inside there. But it's so small, you can't hardly see it. And when you try to get it out, somebody looking at it basically has to wash it out because they can't see it with the naked eye. And Christ said, why are you trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye when you've got a log, you got a 2x4 in your own eye? He said, you got so much in front of you, you can't even see where your brother is, much less where the speck is in his eye. Why don't you fix your own life, your own relationship with God? Why don't you figure out who God is before you go around trying to fix everybody else's relationship with God? So what I want you to see about this, when you see these verses, is there's a danger in judging one another. As Christians, we have to be careful not to judge someone by the way they look, or maybe how they dress or where they live. When they walk through the doors of these church, we're all equal. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. We're all in need of salvation. And we all need the love of God when we come through those doors. We don't need someone saying, well, your shoes aren't good enough, or your hair's too messed up, or your shirt's not like what I like. That's got nothing to do with the relationship with God. God says, I'm looking for someone to be faithful. The danger we have in judging others in our society, and the danger we allow when we allow others to judge us, is that there is always this problem of not understanding what is truly there, not being able to see the real need. As Christians, as human beings, the danger in allowing others to judge you in your life is you're never going to measure up. You see, they're not really seeing the real you. If someone says, I don't like the way you look, the way you dress, the way your hair is, the way your face is, the way your body is, all these different things that we put into context in life, if someone comes up to you and says all these things, you ignore it. Why? Because they don't see the real you. They don't see you underneath all of that. They don't see the power of God in you. They don't see the creation that God's meant to create through you. They don't see how proud God is of you. And when you allow them to live out that judgment in your life, and then you start reacting to it in your own life, what happens? It disintegrates everything around you. Because the more you try to match what you think they're thinking, the more they change what they're thinking, and the more you have to change. And sooner or later, it gets to the point that you can't even keep up with where they really are. So as we talk about judgment and false judgment, be careful about allowing others to judge you in your own life. You know, ultimately, you do have a judge, but they're not it. Now, in our society today, we're very based upon humanistic needs, and we say words like, let your conscience be your guide. And we say, oh, well, I'll be true, thine self be true. And all those type words, those great pithy sayings that we use. And we say, look, I'll judge myself. As long as I'm okay and I don't bother you, I can do what I want to do in my life. But let me show you something. There's a danger in that as well. Look at what I'm talking about. Over here in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to look down to verse 15. There's a problem with allowing ourselves to be the judge. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the bushes of figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. But every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, and thereby the fruits you will know them. The problem, the danger, first of all, the danger in our self-judgment is we seldom use the right measuring stick on others around us or upon ourselves. When you judge other people, and you say in your own mind, and we don't say it out loud a lot of times, I don't like their skin color, I don't like their language, I don't like the way they look, I don't like this about them or that, they make me uncomfortable, all these different things, and we start judging them, we're also judging ourselves. Because we're telling ourselves what criteria by which we are judging ourselves. Is my language like it should be? Is my skin color like it should be? Is my wealth like it should be? Is all these things around me, have I got all that I need and all that I should have? And we judge ourselves by a what? False measuring stick. What kind of fruit are we producing? So one of the greatest dangers we have in self-judgment is too many times we judge on our appearance rather in judging on what God is doing through us. We say, I must not be worthy because I don't look as pretty as I wish I did. I must not be worthy because I'm not as young as I used to be. I must not be worthy because I this and I that. And we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, I'm just disgusted by what I see. And God says, you don't see the whole picture. There's a danger in self-judgment in that we don't judge fruit most of the time. God's asking, are you faithful? You're looking at what color the leaves are. God's asking what kind of fruit you're producing. You're trying to figure out how you're going to get more nourishment. God's asking, what are you doing with what I've given you? And you're thinking, I don't have enough already. When we judge ourselves or we judge others around us, too many times we miss the true judgment God has. So the first danger in self-judgment is that we use the wrong measuring stick. The second problem with self-judgment is this. I skipped a verse. I'm sorry. I knew there's something wrong with my message because I was like, I shouldn't be at that point yet. I want you all to look back to verse 7. I want you to look back to verse 7. The first problem is knowledge. If you're following the outline, number 3, the lack of knowledge limits self-judgment. Number 4 is the problem with our self-judgment. So I told you the problem. Let me go back to the lack of knowledge. In verse 7 he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find it, knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks he'll be opened. Or what man is there among you who if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There's a lack of knowledge in our self-judgment. The reason we cannot judge ourselves is also because we are not knowledgeable enough to judge ourselves. We don't know really what is happening in our lives, even though we think we do. We never know when a sickness is going to come. We never know when a death is going to happen. We never know when a job loss might take place. We never know when a need's going to happen. Because we can't know the future, truth is, we can't know true self. You say, well, God, I need this and need this and need this. But God knows what we really have need of. God knows who we really are. God knows how strong we really are. And God knows how weak we really are. And the problem with self-judgment is that we don't have the true knowledge of self. And we think we know ourselves so well. But the truth is that God's the only one who truly knows our hearts. And we judge ourselves and we look in the mirror and we say, golly, I'm a failure because of this and I'm a failure because of that. God says, stop and ask. You see, what makes you a failure is not what you see in the mirror and not what you have in your bank account. What makes you a failure in life is that you do not follow Christ and know His power in your life, His love in your life, His forgiveness in your life. That's the reason the last part of those verses, He says, look, a great many people follow the wide way, the easy way in life, but the truth is it leads to death. But narrow is the way that leads to life. Many of us don't ever follow it. Why? Because we think we already know better than God. And God says, know me. It's the reason we have the Scriptures. It's the reason God wants us to spend time with Him. It's the reason we have prayer. We have this opportunity to know Him in a deeper, more intimate way. Because when we have self-judgment, we always measure by the wrong thing. And self-judgment takes two forms. Sometimes we judge in an overly negative way. Golly, what I see in the mirror, what I see or do, that's not good enough. But then on the other side of us, as self-judgment, we also sometimes say, look, I know I'm committing that sin, but it's going to be all right. I'm going to work that out later. I'm going to let God get by. God's going to let that get by with for a little while because I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And we're not hard enough on ourselves in other places. And sometimes we're too hard and sometimes we're not hard enough because for self-judgment, we're not knowledgeable enough to be accurate. The last point I want to make today is this. There is one who is worthy to judge. If you haven't caught on anything else, I want you to just catch this last part. Verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock, and the rain descends, the floods came, the winds blew and beat that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. There is one who is worthy to judge you today. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something, guys. I want you to listen to me carefully. He's not going to judge you on how many good things you did versus how many bad things you did. On judgment day, when people who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior stand before him, they're going to say, "I did all these good things in my life. I helped this person. I did this. I did that. I did all these things." But the one true answer is not going to be there. They never are going to be able to say they ever knew Christ himself. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should be saved, should not perish, would know everlasting life." In your life, God is not going to ask you how many good things you did versus how many bad things you did. He's going to ask one question: did you know me? Did you know my Son, Jesus Christ? Did you know him? And if you cannot answer that there's ever been a time in your life where you gave your life to Christ, you're going to come up short on that day of judgment. Today, I want to ask you a question. I'm closing with this. You can close your Bibles and put everything away for a second. I just want you to listen to me just for a minute. We live in a world which teaches us that judgment by others is how we should judge our own lives. And we judge ourselves by the Smiths and the Joneses. How many cars do they have? How big's their house? We look on television and they give us this incredible picture of all these people and they say, "This is how life should be." And we look at our own life and we think, "Man, I can never measure up." We look in magazines and we say, "Look at how beautiful that girl is. I wish I was as skinny as she is," or "I wish that I was as handsome as he is or as well built as he is." And what we don't realize is it's a false image. It's a false measuring stick. And God says, "Don't do it." That's not the judge. Sometimes in our lives we say, "Look, I look in the mirror and I'm not happy with myself. Not happy with my weight or my height or my looks. I wish I had blonde hair. I wish I had brown hair. I wish I had blue eyes. If only I had green." And we're never what we wish we were either, are we? Be careful about measuring yourself by yourself. It's not an accurate judgment. But then there is one judge. And the thing I love about Jesus Christ is that he's the perfect judge. When you see Christ, he knows you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. I want you to catch this. He's proud of you. You're his creation. You were spoken into being. And he's so proud of you. And he wants you to know that. When Christ judges you, he's the perfect judge because he knows you. Now, the danger in that is this. So if you get there that day and you don't know him, there'll be hell to pay. There won't be a second chance. And he won't say, look, you've done enough good to get in, or you've done enough bad to stay out. He's simply going to ask, do you know me? Have you accepted the gift of forgiveness? And for me, that's enough. So when the world tears us down and says you're not good enough, God says you're mine. We look in the mirror and say, you're not good enough. God says, nope, that one's mine. Or we stand at the judgment day. And what did you do with what I've given you? And he's going to say, I knew him or I didn't. So today, as we talk about overcoming false judgment, the one key is this. Make sure you look to the real judge, the real measuring stick, the real God for every area of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts right now. Father, I just feel like there's some people in this room, Father, that feel like others have been judging them for a long time. Maybe they've been judged by church people, and maybe they've been judged by town people, and maybe they've just been judged by family members. But God, help them to know that you love them. And God, for the person here today who's been judging themselves by what they see in the mirror or what they think their life should have been and all these other areas in their own minds, Father, I pray that you would release them from that sin as well. That God, you would look into their hearts and you would speak to the words that says, I'm proud of you. I know you and I'm proud of you just the way I created you. And Father, for the person here today who has not followed you in the way of life, Lord, I pray that you would convict their hearts and let them know that there is a day of true judgment coming. A day when you'll simply ask the question, did you know me? Father, I pray this morning that they would come to know you personally, that they accept your forgiveness, that they would know your love, that they would live, that they would have life. Father, move in our service right now. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Just As I Am, turn 307. And as we sing that out loud, everybody join us. If you want to come down to the front, I'd be honored to pray with you this morning. Maybe you want to come down to the front and just pray here at the altar. Maybe you got some things between you and the Lord that need to be taken care of. I could think of no better day than today. And maybe you're one of our church members who says, look, I need to be praying for our church or praying for the people in our community. This altar is always open, whatever God's laying on your heart. Let's all sing together now.